So you've come here for the truth. Well, we've got the truth and nothing but the truth. Here are your hosts, Robert A. Bianchi and David J. Bruno.
Welcome to WMTR Radio's Nothing But the Truth with your hosts, Bob Bianchi and Dave Bruno, two lawyers talking about mindset. It's still blowing the minds of many people. Can lawyers really talk about mindset, Dave? I mean, we're used to going in and beating people up, and people think that we're a certain way. Mindset is usually not connected to lawyers, Dave Bruno.
Yeah, a little bit different here. We've been trained by Dr. Brené Brown. We're on boards and nonprofits and things like that. And I'll tell you what, we got one exceptional guest today.
Yes, we do.
Tom Coverley. Now, he is a TV show host on the show called Influenced. He is a comedy magician. Bob, I know you appreciate that as a magician yourself.
Who's funny?
And one of the most requested motivational speakers in America, specifically going into schools, which is really, really his sweet spot. He's performed live in front of over 5 million people around the world. He's been seen on TV and featured on Forbes and LA Weekly. Paul Abdul says Tom is a magical inspiration. And we were so fortunate to meet Tom and in St. George. He's one of the TEDx speakers that we got to meet. And we hit it off right away. I mean, it was that first day, Tom, I remember it clearly. We're in the same car going up to the Red Rock for some meditation on the day before our talks. And I get in the car with Tom and I learned that Tom is from Camden County, New Jersey.
I mean, it's almost sweet as North Jersey, but it's still sweet.
And then we just we hit it off. And I'm just so impressed with not only everything that you put out social media. I mean, you were on top of the TEDx release and signing up with newsletters and forums and stuff like that. That impressed me. But then I started to really see what you're doing in the schools and the talks that you have to this demographic that is really in the toughest time period in my mind with social media and bullying and all kinds of different issues in the school. So first off, Tom, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you and all you've done. And if you could, let's start with what you talk about in the schools and why that's so important, that message to that demographic.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you guys, man. What I get a chance to talk in the schools about is just destroying the illusions and lies they are believing about life. I mean, we're talking about mindset, right? Our minds have believed a lot of illusions, a lot of lies, and not just our young people, right? Adults believe a lot of illusions, a lot of lies about ourselves, about other people. And so I come in, entertain them with a couple magic tricks, get them laughing and having a good time, because I'm a firm believer that laughter really is, right, the best medicine. And once you get students laughing, especially middle school, high school students, and it kind of just tears down those walls, right, immediately when they see their peers up on stage. And then it gives me a chance to just talk about some serious issues that they're facing, whether it's bullying, suicide prevention, mental health issues. And I not only want to destroy the illusions and lies they're believing, but I want to replace it with truth and reality, right, to who they are and remind them of that. And for me, it's not earth-shattering advice. It's just those reminders that we all need in life.
You know, it's funny. I was telling somebody, this is going to sound like such a crazy thing, so don't laugh too hard. I mean, you're in the funny business, so you're like a Swiss Army knife. Like, I always loved the Swiss Army knives, but there's a million versions of them. There's the real, like, the people that like you get the real fat one. It's got everything. It's got the saw. It's got the 52 knives, the corkscrews, everything. But the one I carry is called the Explorer. It's got a lot less tools in it, but it's smaller. It's concrete. I know where to go. I don't have to search. I don't have to look too far to have a tool that pretty much will handle most things. And the reason I bring this up is, as you were speaking, I don't know why this analogy popped into my head. When I was a kid, the life was a lot smaller and a lot easier to deal with. I didn't need a lot of tools. I didn't need the big Swiss Army knife, you know. And I think there were various ways to deal with a problem, and they were pretty straightforward, and they weren't too diverse. I think today, though, there's so many choices, like the big Swiss Army knife, that I wonder sometimes if too many tools is a problem. Am I making any kind of sense like that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes a complete sense because, listen, I'm 51, and I don't know how old you guys are, but listen, when we were kids, we could go and escape the bully, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if we were bullied at school, we'd come home, and you didn't have to deal with it that night. You can escape it, especially if you were in your house, right? I mean, you might have to deal with your siblings bullying you, but you didn't have to deal with the bully at school, and you could escape it. And life was simpler. You didn't have to face that bully till you went back to school the next day. And so these kids, it's the opposite, right? They're being bullied at school. They're being bullied online and text messages, social media. It's out of control. I mean, even parents will reach out and say, look, my kid's not even on social media. And I'm like, hey, I applaud you for that. But when they get to school that next day, their friends are saying, hey, look what, you know, everybody said about you last night. And so that's why suicide rates are even just going through the roof, higher than ever before among our young people. I mean, they're faced and with so many things, you know, they have this is a great tool to have, our phones, right? And to have that, but we also know there's lots of positive, but there's lots of negative that our kids are faced with that we never had to deal with as kids. And so, yeah, that I think that was a great analogy, man, of just talking about the things that they need to have in their hand, right? The tools to be able to combat all of these things. And the tools are way bigger right now.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to ask you kind of on the tool piece is that if you're a parent today, Dave's a parent of two young kids, if my value structure is a little old school and that you only need this little Swiss Army knife here with these few tools to be able to take care of 99% of your problems, and I don't want you playing around with any of the other tools. These are sufficient for you. Okay. But then they go outside the home. What I have found kind of miraculous is how the parents today, their values are being contraindicated or adversely attacked, if you will, by institutions that typically used to support the family's values, the parents' values. How difficult that must that be on a child when they're in a scenario, I'm not saying all kids, where the parents are setting one value structure, but then they're going to school or other institutions that are imposing another value structure?
I think you're hitting it right there, right? No matter where someone falls and what they believe, right? There are people watching this right now that have all different beliefs, right? But we know this, our kids are thrown with every agenda, every belief system that is just being thrown their way right now. And yeah, that does. A lot of times that contradicts what's being said at home. And then at school. And so even kids, it's not just bullying like, man, your ears are big or that kind of stuff. It's bullying with just the beliefs and the things that if you don't fall in line with whatever that agenda might be, you know, or maybe that mom and dad's trying to encourage at home or at least to, you know, open your eyes to at home, you know, they're hearing the opposite thing at school. And not just hearing it, but it's pushed on them.
Yeah.
And it's causing a lot of issues, man, a lot of problems. When I get a chance to go into the schools, I not only speak to the kids, but one of the biggest thing for me, because I know this and you guys know this, it all starts at home, always starts at home, you know? And so I want to try to get everybody on the same page. And that's hard, right? Because you have mom and dad that might believe this over here, the school, you know, maybe from a state standard or whatever, that they have to say these things and do these things and these agendas. But how do I bring unity to all of that? And so I invite this school, the parents, the teachers, the community, the students to come back at night. And it gives me a chance right back at the high school auditorium or gymnasium, wherever it might be, maybe a community center in that community, and say, look, let's entertain you for a little bit. Let's have some good time. You know, so at night I'll do a full hour show, but then I will take some time at the end of the show to kind of just bring that unity together as a family and say, let's stick to the core issues. Let's stick to the core things of what we expect and what we want from our kids. And how do we do that together, right? How do we raise these kids? It's that whole, you know, taking a village, right? To just pour into our kids, because we could try to do it at home.
Do you get any resistance? You get any resistance from either the school, parents, student body? What seems to be the biggest hurdles to get over to bring these people together?
I don't really face any resistance for it. I mean, it's just been beyond welcomed, right? It's hard to talk about tough issues when it comes to mental health issues, when it comes to suicide prevention, when it comes to these things that our kids are facing. How do we talk about it, right? Parents could try to talk about it, but that's where I found that laughter and getting them laughing, entertaining, has a way of even taking every adult in the room and kind of just relax, that we can talk about serious issues in a fun way, right? We can have fun doing it. You have to. I mean, you have to lighten the mood. I just did a school that they brought every organization you could, man, in that community, counseling centers, Big Brother, Big Sister, everybody together, man, and gave families resources. But it started off with my show, entertaining them for an hour, getting them laughing. And then I shared some things for about 20 minutes with the entire group as a whole. And then they kind of just went off to these different sections. And it was really cool because in the different classrooms, they had different activities that you could do with your child. And it was just a fun way of talking about serious issues. A lot of tears that night, man. A lot of tears at that. But no, I haven't faced opposition with that.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, great place to stop because we got a lot more questions to ask you about that. But we're going to take a quick break here at WMTR Radio's Nothing But the Truth. We'll be right back.
At the Bianchi Law Group, our team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys specialize in criminal defense and domestic violence cases. When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.
Welcome back. Hey, Tom, that's really amazing, that story you just said, because my experience, having been the prosecutor and spoken in many, many places, and I'd say from that was like from 2007 to 13, right? Whether it was drugs or mental health or in issues of social justice, there was what I would deem now uber respect amongst people who had differing points of view. But I think Dave would agree with me, like in our media space where we're on different TV shows, there something started to happen a couple of years ago where even when we were commenting on criminal law cases, somehow it became politicized. And I feel like today I can't open my mouth and talk about whether I like, by the way, I never asked you this. I'm a fan of the long stick pretzels. I love long stick pretzels with the salt, the hard rock salt on them. Mm-hmm. But if I were to say that, I think publicly, I'm certain that somebody is going to start attacking me for being, I don't know, a conservative or liberal or so I'm kind of,
it's all shape to it.
Yeah. Without a shape. But you somehow are going into these spaces and walking away, which is really shocking to me. It's got to be a bit of an art form. I don't think it's where you're coming, your community. I think it's how it's being presented. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned that very thing when I talk in the evening events. I say, how many adults would agree that our kids are facing, you know, issues more than ever before, right? All the hands go up in the air. And then I get a chance to talk to them and just ask them, like, how many of you remember, like, back in the day, like, when we could agree to disagree, you know, all the hands go up in the air. And I'm like, what happened? Like, where did that go, right? We used to be able to have different point of views and be able to sit and have a conversation. Now we live in a world that if someone disagrees, we're shutting them out, wanting to argue, block them from social media, you know, that kind of thing. You got family members that'll block family members just because you believe two different things. Like, whatever happened, obviously, we all are individuals and we all are not going to land on the same things, right? And so my way of just dealing with that is just being raw and real. I've been doing this long enough that I do think it takes a little knack to bring that together, because obviously I'm not talking about specifics necessarily, right? All these different agendas specifically that are pushed on our kids, even though There's lots of them that I don't think should be pushing our kids whatsoever. But to come together and say, hey, how can we as families, because our kids are hurting, like we have to come together. We have to support the teachers, right? The teachers aren't doing their job because they're getting paid big bucks. They're doing that job because they have a love for students. They have a love for that subject, right? And parents are trying to do their best. But fact is, they're spending most of their time at school, not with mom and dad. Mm. The conversations between parents and students or your kids is getting so minimum. I don't remember the exact number they put on that, but it's scary low of how much communication is happening between, you know, parents and kids. And so I just want to be able to come in there and just talk to these parents and say, we got to do something. We got to be on the same page. You have to communicate. Your kids are watching when you're bad mouthing, you know, Mrs. whatever, right? Because you don't agree with that teacher. That teacher has bad days, just like you have bad days as a parent, right? And you want people to forgive you and give you another chance. So does that teacher, right? We got to somehow come together, you know, as a community. I'll share this quick story. I did a school where this girl came up bawling her eyes out. And she said, Tom, the only reason I came to school is because I wanted to secretly say goodbye to my friends. Mm. And she said, I'm bullied so bad, I just can't take it. And she said, but because of what was said in this school assembly, she said, I was believing the illusion that nobody would miss me if I was gone. I believed the illusion that I have no purpose in this life, that I'm just not good enough. But you reminded me of truth and reality, and truth reality is people would miss me if I'm gone. I do have a purpose in this life. And she's like, I'm going to choose life. I say all that because I said, why don't you come back tonight with your mom? She came back to the evening thing with her mom, and that mom had that suicide letter in her hand. And let me just tell you, fellas, that was, man, that was a thank you hug that I will never forget the rest of my life. And again, it wasn't because we talked about all these specifics out there, just in a general way that I think we got to talk about things, like I said, to be able to bring people together and go, our kids are hurting. So we got to get our stuff together, parents. Like, you know what, as a bullying prevention speaker, people ask me all the time, do you ever think bullying will be done in this world? And I'm like, no, because we have a lot of adults that forgot how to treat one another. We have a lot of adults that have forgotten how to agree to disagree. And we got to be able to get our stuff together so that our kids are seeing a good example.
Dave, I was thinking to myself listening to that, nobody could ask for a better thing in their deathbed confession, their life's end story, to say that I've literally saved a life and the life of a young person. Some people can't say that their entire lives. So good for you, Tom.
And it's not just that one person, Tom. I see it. I mean, I just was on your story just about 30 minutes ago where a mother just posted something about the impact you had on her child and her, the parent. So what you're doing is you're doing wonderful work, inspirational work, Tom. And again, Tom, we met at the TEDx experience and we've gotten to know each other a lot. And I know that you haven't always been the comedy magician, Tom. There's a Camden County, Jersey root story to Tom as well that I want to talk about too. What made you get to where you are now? What's the purpose? What's the why? How'd you get there?
Now, before you answer that, hold on. Before you answer, we got about 5 minutes left in the show, 4 minutes. So you got to be able to answer that. And then I got two magic questions I got to ask you.
Perfect. Let's do this. All right. I'm going to give you the short version. Listen, I grew up in Camden, New Jersey, and I'm here to tell you I lived and I made it through it. So without getting into a whole lot of specifics, man, that was a lot of my passion comes from that, right? I was that kid that was told I'll never amount to anything because, you know, sometimes we're a product of our surroundings, right? You don't have to be, but I became that, right? And so I began doing things that I have no business doing, right? And then someone came and spoke some truth into my life and it transformed my life, right? When I was a teenager and turned my whole life around. But that's where that passion comes from living in that city, seeing and doing things that most kids will probably, you know, you should never see in your life as a kid, right? And so I'm just glad that I got past all of that so I could use that to be able to impact kids' lives.
I mean, would you be able to impact the lives that you are right now had you not had those experiences?
I believe I could, but it wouldn't come across with that same passion, right? I faced a lot in my life, and so at a young age even. And so it just, I don't know, I think it just puts that extra something in your step so that when, because I speak to a lot of youth detention centers and stuff like that across the country, and I'm speaking to these kids, and it gives me that relatability that I wouldn't have otherwise, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. What's your first... What was your first magic trick that you got when you were a kid?
Man, I didn't do magic tricks as a kid. That's the crazy part about it. I might have done a card trick or something, like everybody, like, here's all the piles and let's eliminate this pile, right? All those crazy card tricks that everybody did as a kid. I did not start doing magic until I was 18 years old in college.
Really? So
I was up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. There was a professor that did magic tricks, and he was like, hey, there's a magic shop downtown Scranton. Why don't you come with me sometime? And I'm like, there's a store that just sells magic tricks. So long story short, I went in. I was hooked ever since. And I never would have thought a hobby would have turned something as a career. But
okay, what's your favorite magic trick?
My favorite magic trick is the one that is the most requested trick that I get asked to do. And I actually did it on my TED Talk, so if people want to check that out, they can see it. I did an abbreviated version of it. But that trick is where it's all borrowed objects. Magicians spend a lot of money on magic props, but this is done with all borrowed objects. I ask the venue to always supply me with a 12-pack of soda. I do a whole comedy routine, but I have someone rip that thing open. They grab one of the cans out that's sealed, and then I take a quarter from someone in the audience. They sign their initials on the quarter in Sharpie. I take their quarter, and I just slam it in the bottom of the can. You know, I would just take it and just slam it right there. And then they open it up, they pour it out into the glass, and their signed quarter is inside.
That's a Chris Angel, right?
It's great. Yeah, Chris Angel did it on Mind Freak years ago. A friend of ours created that. His name's Wayne Houchin.
And that's right. You're Wayne Houchin. My bad. Exactly.
Yeah. So Wayne Houchin created that brilliant illusion. He gave Chris Angel permission to do it on TV. He gave me permission to do it on stages. And so wow. I've been doing
He knows Chris, by the way, right? I remember around the time you're doing TED Talk, you were with him.
Yeah, we were just out in Vegas, and so all us magicians, Chris Angel, David Copperfield, we're all rubbing shoulders with each other, trying to learn from guys like Wayne Houchin that teach us these tricks, because they're the brilliant minds that create these things. We just perform them.
I feel so bad that I said Chris Rock instead of Wayne Houchin. Both, you know, tremendous, but he really is brilliant, and I used to do that a lot. I guess fortunately for me, I wasn't doing it with soda cans, it was with beer cans, but it is a great illusion. And a lot of his stuff, and I'm trying to think of the other magician's name, he's escaping me right now. David Blaine. I have literally, I don't know how you feel about this, but I've been doing magic since I was like 7-8 years old. And I've literally watched him use a prop that I myself have used and know very well. And he does the presentation in a way where I'm trying to figure out how he did it. And I'm like, how can this be? Does that make sense to you? I'm like, how is he doing this?
It beyond makes sense. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, there's something so cool about magic props and that kind of stuff. And it's just a lot of fun to mess with, right? It's just, I think I might know which one you're talking about. There is a trick that he does that he just made it that much more mind-blowing. Because he takes those tricks that every kid might own, right? Or even an adult might own. And he just takes, he has a way of just taking it and putting it to another level. It's beyond mind-blowing.
Yeah,
I mean, I know how it's done, but it's beyond mind-blowing.
Oh, divulging the secrets of magic.
Never.
Nothing but the truth.
I repeat this. You know why magicians say, we never reveal the secrets? Because we work so hard to practice it, and we don't want to give it away. That's why.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like we sign our name in blood saying, don't give the secret, right?
All right. Well, listen, that's awesome. Great interview. Tom, you got to come back. Same thing here. I didn't go to the rock with the guy with the drum.
The Red Rock Meditation.
Dave came back from TEDx. He's like, I got to meet this guy, Tom. He's amazing. We were on a rock. The guy was hitting a drum. I'm like, well, I'm not interested in the drum than the rock, but Tom, I am. And you certainly, it was great meeting you. And you're going to come back. We got to have you back, Tom. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys for having me on, man.
All right, hold on 1 second, Tom. By the way, before we just conclude, where can people find you?
Yeah, they can go to destroyillusionstour.com.
Destroyillusionstour.com. All right, you're listening to Bob Bianchi, Dave Bruno, Nothing But the Truth, every Saturday at 9:30 on the radio. And Dave, where can they find us live?
Sure, nothingbutthetruthpodcast.com, the place where we have all the video, all the links to the podcast. Also live streaming regularly on Saturday mornings on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. So, Tom, it's been a pleasure. Exceeded expectations. Doing great work out there.
I'm going to
keep on following you, keep on appreciating you, and see you soon, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. We'll be in touch, man. Anything we do for you, brother.
Yo, thank you, guys. Seriously, thank you.
Okay,
peace. Pleasure, man. So good seeing you.
Yeah, good seeing you guys. Thanks for thinking of me, man.
We're the Bianchi Law Group, a team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys.
But here's the thing. He put himself in a box when he said...
Relied on by CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Law and Crime, and news leaders across the country for our criminal defense expertise.
In a search warrant, you have to have probable cause that a crime's been committed and there's evidence in a particular place.
When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.